Everybody knows Jane Pauley, the pride of Indiana, the pride of the country, a fellow member of the Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and she's the author of a new best-selling book published by Simon & Schuster, Your Life Calling, Reimagining the Rest of Your Life. And I think she wrote this book for nearly the majority of my audience, because the majority of my audience are all baby boomers. That means folks over 50. Jane, how you doing?
You know, I feel like after that introduction, I should just sit here and let you just go on and on and on. That was good. That was great. You didn't leave anything out.
So
that
what?
That was so generous, and it's great to be talking to you, Amos. Thank you for including me.
Well, it's a pleasure. When I heard about the book, you know, it kind of touched a chord in my life because, like you, we're roughly the same age, 21 plus, and... We have been doing what we like to do for a long time, but then there are these nagging thoughts that what do I do after I get to 40, 41 years in this career? What is the next phase of one's life? And I think that's what your book is about.
Well, my book is, it's not a great, you know, I didn't invent this thing. And, you know, it's a kind of a demographic reality that people, you know, are living longer, and while I'm not in denial, I mean, you know, we do age and things change, and not everybody is going to live to be 110. But what's new is that we're kind of recognizing that, you know what, we all have an Aunt Martha like I had, who lived to be 94. Aunt Martha was widowed at 50. But then was a single mom. She was, the only working mom I knew in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But she supported her son with a, you know, variety of jobs over the years until she was given her mandatory retirement papers at 65 when she was working at a savings and loan. She stuffed those papers in her purse, literally walked across the street to a travel agency. Mm. And she led tours, like on buses and things around the country. And she was good at logistics, and she was, you know, kind of an entertaining person. And she'd take people down to, I don't know, the Smoky Mountains, right, or all these places. Well, bottom line was, she was in robust good health, and at 75, finally retired because the travel agency closed. But she had 20 more years to live, and she was not an elderly woman until after her 90s.
Mm.
So if I happen to live the same kind of life that my own Aunt Martha lived, that means now at 63, I've got 3 decades ahead of me to account for. So my book isn't a career book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how to find a job. It's not a how-to of do anything. It's not a how-to. It's a recognition that if I've got the potential of 3 decades, and some of those, 1, 2, or all of them in good health, what am I going to do?
Mm.
What am I going to be? And I think it's going to be a cycle of in and out. And my generation didn't invent this. We're just the first to kind of get a heads up that you might regard that as a challenge.
Right.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
Well, she's got a point. What am I going to do? And I mean, obviously, we've got family. There are, you know, we've got responsibilities to grandkids, and we can help out our own children. Or, mm-hmm. you know, there are people who are listening who are thinking, you know, well, it sounds like, you know, reinvention for you, Jane. Lucky you. It's, you know, I've got to support a family. I'm still working 2 jobs. You know, my grown kids came home because the recession. You know, so I am not. I've never been a cheerleader since I was a junior high school cheerleader at Woodview out on the East Side.
Right.
Never made the big time, Amos. So you know, I'm not a cheerleader here.
Right.
This is a new world, and people, I've got a friend who Gary tells me he's 65 and he is retired.
Mm-hmm.
Looked forward to it. So I asked Gary, well, what's he going to do? And Gary said, well, he said that he's going to kick back for about a month and then see what reveals itself. And I kind of smiled, a little smug little smile. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Our generation has kind of understands that it's different for us, mm-hmm. that yes, we either have to take retirement, we look forward to retirement, you know, maybe we got laid off, but we get the idea that there is more for us. My father, when he did not look forward to retiring. It was, you know, back in, you know, he was early retirement was his nightmare. But when my parents were my age, they weren't thinking about what might reveal itself. So when I talk about reimagining your life, I put it how to stay engaged
and active, yeah.
productive, active, creative. We take for granted that there will be something more, that filling in something missing, that it's going to be something different, whether we know what that something is or not. It is going to be different.
We're talking with Jane Pauley. She's the author of the brand new book, Your Life Calling, published by Simon & Schuster. Now, you profile folks in the book that you had done on your Today Show segment, Life Reimagined Today. What stood out?
Well, there was certain themes, none of which applied to me, which leads me to, because, you know, I'm kind of my husband calls me a change agent.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. You know, if I move a candlestick, I will notice a few days later that candlestick's back from, you know, where I originally moved it. Gary is not a change agent. But, so I'm interested in, I'm not afraid of it. A lot of people, you know, reinvention's not a happy word. I had so much momentum in my, what was your question, Amos? That's what I do. So it's 63. Who's kidding whom? I'm losing some of my mind.
Oh,
but I am enthusiastic about the idea that there might. Oh, what stands out? Volunteer.
Okay.
People who have been that go-to person who have, whether it's at church or school. Or, you know, the myriad ways that people step up and say, yeah, I can do that,
right. To
show me how. There are people who have had a history of that in their lives seem to have come to transitions like this with more confidence or more options. Likewise, people with lots of hobbies or outside interests. You know, my Aunt Martha, who I described, liked to be busy.
Right.
And she, you know, she was kind of a volunteer. It was just the way she, you know, she kept interested in people. People who are lifelong learners. If you go to a community college, you know, you might see a class full of teens and early 20s, and maybe someone in their 30s, and maybe there's someone in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of person, interested in learning new things. Those types appear in my stories, though all 37 stories I did were very different, no repeats. But those themes kind of came up, and like I say, none of them applied to me. And so I'm inclined to think that there are as many paths to reimagining your future as there are people.
Let me ask you, Jane Pauley, does your husband now fit in this, given that what he was doing for so long, I mean, he's drawing a daily comic strip, he's now doing the TV thing?
Wow, you're up. Yep. Yeah, Alpha House, available on Amazon.
There you go.
Who would have thought? It's a different world, and, you know, I feel sometimes like I'm an ambassador from the 20th century, and Gary's more 21st century, though, you know, there could come a time if, you know, when Alpha House is picked up, it is picked up for a second season,
right?
And I counseled Gary. I said, don't give up the comic strip. Gary's been doing a comic strip, Doonesbury,
forever, yeah.
For all of his adult life. He had the offer to do the strip when he was still in college.
Right.
And I said, don't give it up. You kind of need to, if you can stay in the game. So, you know, he's fortunate that he's able to continue to do the Sunday strip as original. And some of his papers, most of them, I'm not sure what his status in Indianapolis is now that you remind me, But about 90% of his papers are now running Doonesbury Classics, where Gary has gone back, and the strip today, for instance, looks like a kindergartner drew it. Because it literally was from back in the
70s. Oh, my goodness.
And it's fascinating. But that said, here's something Gary told me. Mm-hmm. Not everybody needs my book to inspire them. We were in the car and probably talking about my book.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary, which means I was talking.
Right.
Gary says, you know, I think I've lost the capacity for boredom. And at this point, I start taking notes. And he goes on and says, you know, whenever I feel like I'm in a situation where I'm kind of not interested, I retreat to the amusement park that is my brain.
There you go.
Now, I always knew that my husband had an unusual capacity for daydreaming and that he sometimes imagined himself as President of the United States.
Uh-oh.
I assure you, I would never have, I mean, that would not be my idea of fun to imagine myself. Okay, but then he says, I'm also in a rock band. Mind you, I am writing this down. And there's a song on the radio. Right. He gestures to the radio and he says, hear that? I'm playing bass.
Oh, God.
You know, so he's just, I don't have that.
You got to tell him, is he going to write you in the second season of Alpha House?
I was in the first season.
You were in there. Okay.
At the very, very end, you remember the season opened?
Yeah.
Bill Murray, and he's not a close personal friend, but
right.
From Saturday Night Live days back at NBC, we've known each other. And he played the part of a United States senator living in this Alpha House, which
right.
is, and he's going to jail. He's going to jail, and he's overslept, and they've come to... Anyway, so the Bill Murray character vanishes. They replace him with another set. That's the what the story's about. At the end of the season, we re-meet Bill Murray. He's in an orange jumpsuit. He's in prison.
Mm.
And he's being interviewed by someone called Jane Pauley for her Life Reimagined series. and they don't, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, that's my one and only, that
there
was my acting debut, beginning and end. I don't have an acting bone in my body, but I was playing Jane Pauley and interviewing Bill Murray. So I think they're going to take a bit of that interview to reprise it for the second season. But that said, I don't think Gary's likely to tip. Write me back into the show.
The book, and again, we're Jane Pauley, the pride of Warren Central. She's got a health clinic named after her, Hall of Fame, and she will be in Indianapolis this week. She's speaking at the National Convention of the American Librarians or Library Association. She'll be at IUPUI on Friday. The book is called Your Life Calling, Reimagining the Rest of Your Life. It's published by Simon & Schuster. And they got all... So you go to Amazon.com. You go to BarnesandNoble.com. Be original. Go in an original bookstore. Or she can talk to you in the car and reading the book and the Kindle and all this
Amos,
technology.
Have you written your book yet?
No. I got to give me... This will give me something to do when I reimagine my life.
Yeah. Oh, you should write a book.
Look, with all the off the record conversations I've had over the years that are stored up in my brain, that's probably the book.
Well, look at me; they'll let anybody be an author these days. So you know, go to it. You've got stories.
I've got stories. Jane Pauley, it's an honor and a privilege always to talk with you. You know, best to your family and have
and to yours, Mr. You know, fellow Hall of Famer.
And have a safe journey out here to the capital city this week.
Well, I sure look forward to it. I always do.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Amos.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And-